This is Ozarks at Large. 2 weeks ago, Arkansans braced for back-to-back winter storms that dumped several inches of snow and dropped temperatures as low as 20 below zero. Now, Arkansans are bracing for their utility bills as energy companies ran into high demand and not enough supply. That, in turn, sent energy prices soaring. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek has more on the state-level discussions about how Arkansas's utilities handled the storms and what it means for their customers.
Courtney Burnett says she's not looking forward to getting her next electricity bill, especially since her furnace has been out all winter and she's been using space heaters to stay warm.
We were usually able to kind of turn them off at some points during the day, but during the storms and everything, we couldn't keep it warm enough in the house. So they just ran the entire time. We had a couple of breakers blow a couple times, but other than that, not too many issues. But the bills were already pretty high from having to use space heaters just in general.
Burnett, who gets her electricity through Southwestern Electric Power Company, says her bill is already more than she can afford each month.
My bill has been pretty outrageous for a while, and I've not been able to stay on top of it. So they've been very good about offering payment plans and that kind of thing instead of, just shutting me off.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Arkansas Public Service Commission has prohibited utilities from disconnecting their customers. But that directive could be lifted in the next few weeks.
I just perpetually owe them more. And so at this point, honestly, my bill's over $1,300. And I'm not really sure. I know that they're not going to shut me off right now, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, eventually they will start shutting off again. And am I going to have it paid by then?
Burnett says she has to replace her furnace, which she can't afford to do right now.
So I'm trying to work with the city to with a program that they have to try to get that replaced. But it's going to take some time.
And like so many others, Burnett's employment has been impacted by the pandemic.
I lost one job just before COVID hit, and I had a second job that I lost because of COVID. So I'm temping right now, and I'm just kind of always playing catch up.
Burnett is also not the only one anxiously awaiting her electricity bill, which is why the Attorney General's Office and the Arkansas Public Service Commission are opening investigations into the record high electricity and natural gas bills that are likely to arrive in people's mailboxes over the next few weeks.
The costs from this are going to be ugly. We have folks that spent more in 10 days by multiples on gas than they did all of last year.
That's Arkansas Public Service Commission Chairman Ted Thomas speaking before the state legislature's Joint Energy Committee this past Tuesday. He told lawmakers the back-to-back winter storms stressed all of Arkansas's utilities.
It was a very challenging and stressful time. We didn't hit the wall, but we rubbed up against it.
Thomas said several days of sub-zero temperatures caused problems with natural gas production in neighboring states.
The problem was 50% of the production facilities in Texas and Oklahoma froze, so there wasn't enough gas. You couldn't buy it,
okay,
which caused the price to spike dramatically.
And Thomas said those price increases will likely be passed down to customers.
I wish I could sit here and tell you that there's a couple of rich Texans, we're going to take them to court, we're going to get the money back, and everybody's going to be happy. That's not how the real world works. In all likelihood, a substantial part of the cost will be borne by Arkansas ratepayers.
The Arkansas Public Service Commission investigation into those costs will examine contracting practices, contract enforcement, winterization, gas prioritization, and front and back end communications by all the parties involved in delivering energy to Arkansas homes and businesses. Meanwhile, Attorney General Leslie Rutledge has announced an investigation into potential price gouging is also underway. Deputy Attorney General Chuck Harder told the Joint Energy Committee they will be looking for answers to a long list of questions, including whether any natural gas producers engaged in market manipulation.
You take a look at the retail provider, in this case, the local distribution companies, if they're just passing along their costs under the contracts with the gas supply, with the pipelines and the marketers. Then you take a look at that next step, the wholesaler. Did the wholesaler pass along cost increases that they experienced from a producer, from another entity that sells gas? You work your way up the supply chain to find out where's the source of the price increase and was that cost based?
But Harder also noted the Attorney General's office is not out to cripple anyone in the process.
think there has to be fair in the process. I don't think the goal is to punish anybody. The goal is to disgorge any unreasonable profits that somebody has received. But I think that can be done in a way that's not going to cripple the ability for the electric and natural gas utilities to get what they need in the future.
Legislators also heard from representatives of Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, and Southwest Power Pool. Both organizations manage the electric grid and provide access to high-voltage transmission lines in the South and Midwest.
So, what happened?
That's Mike Ross, SPP's Senior Vice President for Governmental Affairs and Public Relations.
Record low temperatures caused record high demand for electricity. We set a historical maximum winter load on February the 15th. That dark blue on the map, that's where the temperatures were zero or below, and it was the entire SPP region. A lot of times we benefit from having a large geographical region. There's been times when it's 78 degrees in Shreveport, Louisiana, and minus 20 in Bismarck, North Dakota. In this instance, everything was at zero or below.
Ross is also a former U.S. congressman and Arkansas senator. He told lawmakers all forms of energy production were impacted by the winter storms.
The wind came in pretty much at what we had forecast for it. Unfortunately, the wind wasn't blowing a lot during these events. And then coal, some of the coal piles were frozen. And so we lost gas, we lost wind, we lost coal.
Ross also said it was the first time SPP had to implement controlled blackouts in its 88-year history to avoid uncontrolled blackouts, which can damage infrastructure and last much longer.
On February the 15th, 1.5% of our region lost power for 50 minutes. And then on February 16th, it ranged between 3.25% and 6.5% of our region lost power for a total of 3 hours and 21 minutes.
Lawmakers then heard from representatives of electricity and gas distributors like Buddy Haston, the CEO of Arkansas Electric Cooperative Corporation, which includes 17 member cooperatives.
We did not have any winter problems. I'd say our problem really resulted in paying high prices for gas. So the plants we operated, they were ready for winter, but some of that load gets served by very expensive gas.
Like most utilities in the South, Haston said they usually see peak use in the summer, but that's been changing in the last decade.
But you can see how that curve has kind of shifted, and since the polar vortex in 14, I think one of the legislators asked the question, is this becoming more common? Yes, we're seeing more of these winter events. And I think we're definitely seeing some bigger peaks in the winter times as well. And that this graph just tries to show you that.
And while reliance on natural gas as a primary source of energy production caused problems, Haston said a lack of wind and solar energy reserves is an issue as well.
I'm not picking on wind, I'm just saying it wasn't there. And so the question about what do we do in the future, and I'm not picking on MISO and SPP, but everything that's in the queue, if you go out on internet, look at what is in the plans to be built, it's all wind and solar.
Representatives from Entergy Arkansas, Southwestern Electric Power Company, Black Hills Natural Gas, and CenterPoint Energy were also present at the committee meeting. All of them reported incurring extra costs that are likely to add up to hundreds of millions of dollars. Throughout the meeting, Arkansas Senator Bob Ballinger expressed concerns about moving away from traditional forms of energy production, like nuclear and coal power plants.
I just don't see how this ends well for us. Talking to one person, it feels like we're on a train going real fast one direction and nobody wants to stop it. So, I mean, I do want innovation. I do want to go to renewables and I do want all that stuff, but not before our system is able to continue to operate while we get there.
SPP's Mike Ross told the committee that right now the future of energy production includes wind, solar, expanded storage capacity, and limited natural gas.
So we don't get to decide what kind of generation's built, but we get to look at what's going to be built because we're required to do these studies on how that generation would reliably connect to the grid. And when you look at what's planned across our region for the future, it's wind, it's solar, it's storage, and a little bit of gas. But in terms of what kind of generation gets built, that is something that our member companies determine in coordination on these resource adequacy plans with their state commissions.
Solar energy did play a role in keeping electricity flowing to Ozarks Electric cooperative customers. Ozarks Electric is one of the 17-member co-ops that belongs to Arkansas Electric Cooperative Corporation. Here's Ashley Harris, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications.
Ozarks Electric generates no energy on its own, and there are a couple of different types of cooperatives. Ours being a distribution cooperative, but there are also generation and transmission cooperatives. And we purchase our energy from Arkansas Electric co-ops, also Southwest Power Pool. We purchase our power from multiple, a couple of different entities.
In the midst of the winter storms, Ozarks Electric shared multiple photos of its crews clearing snow from solar arrays that power the wastewater treatment facilities in the city of Fayetteville on its Facebook page.
And this was a partnership that we have had with them, and just really another way that we could generate some power for our membership. And in cleaning off those snow panels at the Fayetteville Solar site, we were able to generate approximately 3 megawatts of energy, because in the midst of that snow event, we did have some sun. Remarkably, we had some sun.
Harris says Fayetteville's solar facilities also come with battery storage.
And we were able to dispatch some of that battery storage as well, and that was about 6 megawatts. So our solar facility and that renewable energy really, really helped in making sure that we could generate the power that we needed from an alternate source.
The mix of energy sources, including solar, as well as other measures like customers reducing their energy use, allowed Ozarks Electric to avoid rolling blackouts.
Each individual does have an impact on the grid. And we had a lot of proactive mitigation efforts throughout Ozarks. We had a lot of key accounts that went to backup generation resources. These are large companies that are on our grid that offered to go to generator power, and that saved approximately 20 megawatts of power, which is tremendous.
Harris says they're still doing the calculations, but because of those conservation efforts, Ozarks Electric was able to save its members over $2 million in the coldest 36 hours of the storms. But she adds customers should still expect higher than normal bills.
It is a concern for individuals how they are going to pay their bill, and we do have lots of options for that. Most likely the most popular one, we call it Smart Pay, but it's levelized billing, and that's a very popular way to pay. If you have serious concerns and you need to be on a different type of payment plan, we want everyone to feel comfortable to call in to our Ozarks Electric member services line, and our member service reps will be happy to talk with each member on, you know, what is the best option for them and provide all of those as well.
Other than working with their respective utility companies on payment plans, certain Arkansans may also qualify for assistance through the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, which is administered by community action agencies across the state. But Courtney Barnett says she's not sure her situation makes her eligible for aid.
I'm kind of in that middle ground of someone who makes, you know, a little too much money, but not quite enough to you know, cover everything. So I have a tendency to not qualify for by a matter of literally a few dollars.
During this week's Joint Energy Committee meeting, the Arkansas Public Service Commission chairman also recommended that lawmakers might consider expanding securitization to gas companies. Right now, that financing mechanism is only available to electric utilities. Securitization allows a utility to issue bonds for the purpose of recovering costs related to natural disasters. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
The winter storms last month also prompted a fundraising effort and volunteer effort from Seven Hills Homeless Center in Fayetteville, along with partners. The effort raised nearly $52,000. The results of the fundraiser, which had an initial goal of $40,000, are published on the Seven Hills Homeless Center Facebook page. And the campaign also included 165 hours of coordination, more than 580 bags of food delivered, 65 trips to shelter, and a cumulative 943 nights out of the cold. A list of the partners who helped Seven Hills can be seen at the Seven Hills Homeless Shelter Facebook page.